Good morning. It is so great to have you here with us at worship. I hope you were able to catch last week's Vision Sunday. It was a great Sunday where we were able to kind of reveal the plan that God has given us for 2021. And the theme going into 2021 is gather and go. And so we are so excited about that. We're going to talk about that here in just a few minutes. But before we jump into that, will you join me in prayer? Father, we thank you that we can gather. We thank you, Lord, for technology that connects us, Lord, whether it's in person, online, whether you're on your couch, in your basement, on your phone, in your car, Lord, we know you're there. Lord, I ask that your spirit would fall fresh upon every single person who is listening, who is watching this. I pray, Lord, that you would bring comfort to those who need comfort. I pray that you would bring conviction to those who need convicting. I pray, Lord, that you would empty me of me. Lord, I pray that my sinful heart could be put to the side, and Lord, I could be a vessel that your spirit would speak through to us today, Lord, that, Lord, we could seek you and honor you and know you. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our theme for 2021 is gather and go, and those are the two things we haven't been able to do in 2020. We haven't been able to gather, and we love to gather. We gather at each other's homes. We gather at restaurants. We gather at the movies. We gather at sporting events. We gather at concerts, and we haven't been able to gather. Hopefully, with vaccinations coming, hopefully soon, we're going to be able to gather again without any restrictions on those we know and love. But one of the questions we have to ask as we gather as a church is, why do we gather as a church, and how should we gather as the church? There's a great text in the book of Acts, Acts 2, verses 42 through 47, which is really foundational for the church, but also foundational for our theme of gather and go for 2021. So I hope you've got your Bibles. Go grab them if you don't. We're going to read Acts 2, 42 through 47. It says, they, and these are the followers of Jesus, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying favor of all the people. And the Lord added to number daily those who were being saved. If you're a pastor and you read this sermon, one of the things that you often say is, man, that had to be some sermon that Peter gave. See, because right before our text, we see Peter giving a sermon when the Holy Spirit comes and 3,000 people gave their life to Christ. So that had to be some incredible sermon. It was so impactful that this small church of about 120 all of a sudden grew to over 3,000. People who saw the work of the Holy Spirit thought that the followers of Christ were drunk because they were speaking in tongues. But see, what was really happening when the Holy Spirit came, two significant things happened to the followers of Jesus. Number one, they received power. Number two, they received purpose. See, because when the body of Christ gathers, they receive the power of God and the purpose for God. And when we read this text, sometimes we can think it's the Holy Spirit that brought them together. But here's what we don't want to miss. The people of God were already gathered. They were already gathering together. And so then when the Holy Spirit came, that's when they received the power from God and a purpose for God. Now, the early church should not have been in any way surprised by this, because Jesus told them this in Acts 1:8. He says, but you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus says, when you gather, you will receive power, you will receive purpose. And that is the only place that you and I can truly receive power in life. It's as the gathered people of God. The only real purpose that we'll find that is meaningful in our life is from God and for God when we gather as the people of God. And that purpose was to be a witness of the glory of God, of the grace of God, of the love of God. And so they gathered in his name and they experienced the presence of God. And what is so powerful to me when you read this text is that they did it consistently. They didn't just come once in a while or here and there. It said they did it daily. They gathered consistently. See, when we gather consistently, we will experience the power of God. We will experience the purpose that God has for his people and for the church. And so this devotion that they had, this consistent devotion, was around four things. It was around the apostles' teaching. It was around that fellowship together, breaking of bread, and prayer. The apostles' teachings would have been all of the Old Testament, which pointed to the Messiah, which pointed to Christ, and it would have been Jesus' teachings himself while he was on earth. And so they would be devoted to that. They would gather around that. We are called the people of the book. We gather around the Word of God, just like we're doing right now. That is the food for us. It is what fills us. It's what sustains us. It's the Word of God. And so they were devoted consistently to the Word of God. They were consistently devoted to fellowship. That word there for fellowship is koinonia. It means that they did life together. They were there in the good times, and they were there in the tough times. But they had fellowship together consistently, not just once in a while, not here and there, but consistently. They were devoted consistently to breaking bread. And that meant, you know what? They did life together. They had meals together. They celebrated communion together, which was looking back to the sacrifice of Jesus and forward to the promise of Jesus to return. And then the fourth thing was they were consistently devoted to prayer. They knew the power of prayer. And so they did this consistently, and they were always together. And when they were together, they saw miraculous things happening within the life of the church. But it all begins with gathering. And it all begins with gathering consistently in every way. Because if you don't gather, you won't experience the power of God in your life. If you don't gather, you'll never find the purpose that God has laid out for his followers and for the church in every way. See, we see that the early church had its priorities right. Their time, their talent, and their treasure were consistently about gathering together. Gathering together around God. Now look, I don't want to paint this romantic picture that this was somehow the perfect church, because there are no perfect churches, but it's the model that God calls us to, and that is to consistently gather together. The book of Acts is really about the power of the Holy Spirit moving in the life of the people and in the community. And see, when that happens, when you and I are consistently gathering, we're developing good habits, good spiritual habits. You develop good eating habits, develop other good habits. If you want to develop a good spiritual habit, consistently gather together. Because if you don't have a good habit, well, then you have a bad habit. That's why it says this in Hebrews. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. See, when we gather together, we are encouraging one another. Your presence, when you gather, encourages other people. And so if you don't gather, they miss out on that encouragement. And so what the writer of Hebrews is saying is we are mutually encouraging each other when we gather online, when we gather in person. That's why we've got this digital greeter that you can interact so we can gather, so we can do life together, but we must do it consistently. And so if we find power and we find purpose and we find encouragement in gathering, then the opposite has to be true. That when we don't gather, not only do you as an individual miss out on the power and the purpose and the encouragement that God offers, but so do other people. See, your presence is encouraging to others. And that's why when we do it consistently, it doesn't just change us, but it changes other people. Look, the early church, they were an enthusiastic bunch. They were so excited. And do you know why they were so excited? Because they knew that they had been saved from their sins. See, they owned their sinful hearts. They knew that they were violating the word of God, the law of God. They knew they could never please God through morality or religion or good works. And so they were so grateful, so excited because God had saved them. Did you ever notice that you grow really close to people when you have a shared experience? Whether you're whitewater rafting with your youth group or if you go through something together with people, it bonds you. There are those of us that are old to remember that tragic day on 9/11. It was a terrible, terrible day. But we also remember how it brought our country together. We remember how leaders from both parties were standing on the Capitol steps singing. We remembered all the flags that were out and how people would check on the neighbors because we all went through something together. I think the same thing is going to happen as we come out of COVID. This is going to bond us together. It's going to bring us together even more. The early church had been through the awareness of their sin and now their salvation in Christ because they were rooted in Christ. And see, they experienced something that produced something in them. They experienced God's commitment to them. All the way back to Genesis, God said that he would redeem his people. God was so committed that he sent his one and only son to die on the cross for your sins and mine. Jesus was so committed that he died a sinner's death, never having sinned. And so experiencing the commitment of God produced a commitment in the early church. See, when you are consistently gathering to worship, it will produce in you a commitment to God. You will understand God's commitment to you, and it will produce a commitment to God. That's why Jesus says this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. You cannot love God and you cannot love your neighbor if you aren't committed. If you understand how much God is committed to you, how God is pursuing you, how God wants to be in a relationship with you, how committed God that he sent his only son, it can't help but produce a commitment in you. And when you are committed to loving God, then you are committed to loving other people. But the only way you find commitment is through consistency. When we are consistently gathering together as the people of God. That's why it's so important. What you're doing right now, you're gathering with the people of God to worship. That's why we want to encourage you, gather in a life group. Gather in a prayer group. Let your kids gather with other kids, with Joe and with Garrett, as they grow in their faith. Gathering is so important. And the early church gave their time, their talent, their treasure, and their gathering, and it developed these grateful hearts. They had hearts of gratitude because they understood who they were and they understood God's commitment to them. And everything that they would do for God's glory. And it changed them. Paul says it like this in Galatians. But the fruit of the Spirit, presence of the Holy Spirit again, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such thing there is no law. When you gather together and you experience the power of the Holy Spirit and the purpose the Holy Spirit gives us for God's to be witnessed, it will be seen in how we treat one another. But when we don't gather consistently, we don't have that commitment. And when we don't have that commitment, we aren't going to treat other people the way that God calls us to because the Spirit needs to be present. And that's what Paul was saying. We sometimes think that if we've got the best worship team and the best children's ministry and the best youth ministry and all these, and if we had a building that was great, then people would give their life to Jesus. Those things are nice, but that's not what changes people. What changes people is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit working in them, but the Holy Spirit working through us. And the way the Holy Spirit works through us is through our consistent gathering and our consistent commitment to God. It happens to us individually, and it happens as the church. Now, it may not happen as quickly as we want, but God's timing is perfect in every way. So how do we show that commitment to God? You do it in two ways. The first, public. Remember, the church gathered publicly at the temple every day. People saw them worshiping. When you gather in a public way, people know it. When you gather online and people see how many people are gathering online for worship, it's impactful. The second way is you do it privately. You gather in homes. when you gather together for a prayer time, or you gather together for a life group, or you just gather with a brother and sister in Christ from the church just to do life together, that is so powerful. And you know what it does? It produces two things in people who are outside the church, people who don't know Jesus, people who don't know who God is. It produces a curiosity. They go, what's going on there? Why are there so many cars there? Or why are there so many people online? Or why is my internet slow today? Because there's so many people that are gathering. People become curious. The second thing is people want to know why. Why are there so many people watching this? Why are there so many people sharing this? Why are there so many people with cars in my neighbor's house? What is going on? When you are committed and you gather, it changes people. The most powerful evangelism tool that we have is the most underutilized tool, the ministry of presence. That when you are consistently present, when you are consistently committed, that presence changes people. It doesn't just change you, it changes other people. See, your presence is a powerful witness to other people. Those in the church, those online, but those who are not in the church or online, they see and hear and know your commitment, and it absolutely changes them. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, said this so well. There's nothing more unchristian than a solitary Christian. We cannot go through life without gathering with and as the people of God. There's no lone ranger faith here. We must gather together. Because I think when we gather consistently and we gather with commitment, we can be what I think God has called the church to be. We can be a megaphone. I want you to picture just a huge megaphone. You see them at sporting events where they try to get the crowd going. I think the church was created to be a megaphone of grace that can shout, God is good, God is loving, God is forgiving, God is great. The church needs to be that megaphone for God in every possible way. And the reason why the early church could do that, they were convicted by the truth. See, when you are convicted by the truth of God's word, it changes you. But you can't be convicted until you're committed. And you can't be committed until you're consistent. It goes consistency, commitment, conviction. That's what changes people. Everybody has a great church growth plan. I've been to the conferences. I've read the books. You probably have ideas too. Everybody says, well, if we just had this building, or if we had this, or we had that. But here's the thing. You know how the church grows? You know how the church grew? Spiritual growth precedes numerical growth. When we are growing spiritually as the current church, that's when we'll start to see numerical growth. And so how do we grow spiritually? We are here gathering consistently. We develop a commitment and a conviction. Those are the things. It's like when you start working out. Man, it's hard to be consistent in working out. You want to sleep in. It's too cold. You're tired. But once you start to come to the gym consistently, you develop a craving. You can't help but say, I have to work out today. It's not that I want to. I have to work out today. And see, what happened in the early church, they developed this I have to worship together. I have to gather today with my brothers and sisters so we can do life, so we can worship, so we can study, so that we can pray. See, they had their priorities right. They were convicted by the word of God. It's like what it says in Hebrews. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. See, when you are convicted by the word of God, it changes you. And you begin to live a life of praise. And when you live a life of praise, you will be praised for how you live. Because people will see in you a consistent, committed, convicted follower of Jesus Christ. And when you are growing spiritually, the kingdom of God will grow numerically, and the church of God will continue to grow. That's what we see from the early church. See, all of these things are building blocks on one another. Consistency, commitment, conviction, and what they reveal are priorities and a heart that's right. What it reveals is that the early church understood their spiritual responsibilities. We have responsibilities as followers of Jesus. We have responsibilities as the church. And the only way we understand those responsibilities is if we are consistent, committed, and convicted. It's like a job. You have to show up every day at work if you want to understand the responsibilities. You've got to be committed to where you work. You've got to be convicted that the work you're doing is being done well. The second thing is you develop a spiritual attitude. That when you are consistent, committed, and convicted, your attitude is going to change how you see yourself. It's going to change how you see other people. It's going to change how you see relationships and your job and your world. Because now you have a spiritual attitude because there's growth in you. And the third thing that it will do is it will help you have a spiritual impact. We can have an impact in a lot of ways, but we're called to have an impact in a very specific way in Scripture, and that is a spiritual impact. We have a spiritual impact when we gather together. When we gather consistently and develop that commitment and it's seen in our conviction, that will impact other people. If we want to have an impact, if we want to be a blessing and experience blessing, which everybody does, it begins with gathering. When we don't gather, we don't experience the power of God. We don't find our purpose in God. We don't find the blessing in God. And the rest of the body suffers. It said the people were in awe of the early church. And you know what? They were not in awe of a building because they didn't have one. They weren't in awe of the music ministry because they didn't have any. They weren't involved in the children and the youth programs because they didn't exist. They were in awe of the people because they saw their Christian character. They said, these people are always meeting together. They are so consistent. They are clearly committed to God and one another. And they are convicted to live a life that is different and for God. That impacts people. That's why Peter said this, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. When we gather with others, when we serve others that we gather with, it has an impact. And if you really want to have a spiritual impact on people, let them see your transformed life. Let them see how God has changed you. That'll be the greatest impact that you can have in anybody's life who doesn't know Jesus, is letting them see your transformed life. And how does your life become transformed? You could probably recite it right now. Consistently gathering, commitment in gathering, and gathering with conviction. When those things happen. I started off by telling you, if you're a pastor and you read Acts chapter 2, you think, boy, that had to be some sermon that Peter gave for 3,000 people to give their lives to Christ, but it wasn't the sermon. Maybe when you read about all of the miracles that happened, you think, wow, it must have been all of the miracles. That's not what changed people. What changes people are not church programs, but are church people. Those who have been convicted by the love of God, those who are committed to God, and those who consistently gather together. We are called to gather so that we can go. Thank you for gathering with us. You know what? Do it next week. Start your consistency right now. Say, I am not going to miss a time to gather. I'm going to be here every week. My whole week is going to revolve around gathering online. I'm not going to let anything stop me. When you start to be consistent in your gathering, friends, you're going to develop a commitment that's going to change you. And then you're going to have this conviction, and then you're going to be a part of changing the world for God. I hope you'll join us. I want to give you three, just, boy, these are tough. You got to wrestle with these, okay? But I want you to wrestle with them because they're real important. Number one, are you consistently gathering with other believers? You can't live a life of isolation. Are you gathering with people online, in person? Are you consistently doing it? Number two, are you committed to gathering with other believers? Do you say, I want to be with other believers, whether online or in person, a Bible study? I'm committed to this. And number three, are you convicted to gather with other believers? Have you been convicted that God so loves you, that God is pursuing you, that God sent his only son for you? You say, I am convicted. I am going to be with other believers. I hope you are. God loves you. God wants to use you, but it all starts with gathering. So we are excited for 2021. It is time to gather so that we can go, and we hope and we pray and we know that you will continue to gather with us as we go into the world. Amen. Amen.